Good morning, everybody. Really good to see so many here. I'm quite surprised, to be honest. In my head, I thought I've picked a nice, quiet Sunday morning. Thought everybody would be either headed on up the camp already or preparing. So thank you very much indeed for being here. I admire your commitment to be here, and then so many of you being heading off to the camp very soon after this. So with that in mind, I'm going to try my very best not to keep you too long this morning. I was thinking, just as I came in this morning, Debbie handed me a clipboard, and just in case I'd forgotten my notes, fortunately I haven't, but the kids have got a nice interactive version of what I'm going to be talking about, so you've maybe missed a wee trick there. You might have found it a wee bit more interesting, we'll see how we get on anyway with the story of Zacchaeus. Meals with Jesus, obviously, this is the third one. And the funny thing is that we don't know very much about the actual meal. We're going to have to deduce what went on, what the conversation might have been, what questions perhaps Zacchaeus asked, what the Lord told him. Perhaps more importantly. Much of what we're going to talk about really centres around the meeting on the street in Jericho, and then the result of all of that, as you know. But really what we have with the story of Zacchaeus, above all, is a story of salvation. And most of us, I'm sure, know. Some of the younger ones might not be terribly familiar with the term, perhaps some folks online as well may not even have heard the term before, salvation. And it really just means, in terms of the scriptures, in terms of the Bible, it really just means deliverance from sin and its consequences. And that's what happened that day for Zacchaeus. This particular passage gives us probably one of the most famous verses in the Bible. You know, if I were to take a poll and to ask you what you think the most famous verse is, you'd have John 3:16, maybe Isaiah, one of the Isaiah 55 verses perhaps. But I would say the last verse that we're going to read together, verse 10, is probably one of the most famous verses in the whole of Scripture. For the Son of Man is come, or has come, to seek and to save that which was lost. And just as I'm sort of talking this morning, and as you're hopefully listening and thinking about the passage, my prayer would be that each of us, those of us who are Christians, those of us who have experienced salvation in our lives, that we would be caused to think back to our own experience of the time that we met the Lord Jesus, and to give thanks for that time in our lives. You know, this day that Zacchaeus met the Lord Jesus Christ, it changed his life completely, utterly changed from that point on right into the future to this very day. And, you know, perhaps for anyone listening here that hasn't yet come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, or perhaps someone online again, perhaps this is the day that you'll realize, first of all, that you need salvation, and realize also that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one. As Acts chapter 4, verse 12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And saved just as another aspect or another route, I suppose, of salvation. So, let's read Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Just excuse me while I get a sip of water here. I'm out of luck. So, let's continue. Luke chapter 19, verse 1, and I'm going to read from the ESV. Okay. So he entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. The Authorised Version actually says he was the chief tax collector, and I suppose he was, for that that region of Judea, he would have been the chief tax collector. And he was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. That's the crowd that were there. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." So, thanks to Jack. Get a wee sip here. Okay, you've heard of the Jungle Book, I'm sure. The girls and boys would have seen the film or read the story with their mum or their dad. And the man that wrote that, a man called Rudyard Kipling, he wrote a lot of stuff. And one of the things he wrote was a little poem for his daughter, who was always asking questions. Apparently she never stopped asking questions. Maybe some of the ones here this morning are a bit like that too, and that's great. They ask questions. And the first verse of his poem goes like this. He said, "I keep 6 honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who." So all I want to do this morning, very simply, and as I say, I'm going to keep an eye on that clock, is just to use those questions just to sort of structure what I want to say to you this morning. And we'll take 2 of them to start together. We'll take 2 together, just the when and the where of this story that we're looking at this morning. So we're told that Jesus was passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. Now, where Dave read to us at the time of communion, we've sort of gone back here just a little over a week, really. Because the Lord, between where Dave read and where I have read, the Lord had travelled from Jericho to Jerusalem and, of course, had been put to death on the cross for our sins, had died for us. The distance from Jericho to Jerusalem being roughly about 20 miles, we'll say. And, you know, Jericho at this time that we're reading here, we all know the story of Jericho, you know, in the Old Testament, where the children of Israel circuited the city and blew the trumpets and the walls fell down and so on. But at this time, Jericho has sort of undergone a bit of redevelopment. And Herod the Great, who was the king of the country, but he wasn't really in power. That was really Pilate, the Roman governor, who was in power. But Herod the king had got this city, Jericho, from Caesar Augustus, the main man in Rome, and he had started to redevelop it. He had built a fortress. He had built aqueducts to bring water in and out and so on, and the land round about it was very productive, very rich. He had built himself a winter palace. He had built a hippodrome, if you know what a hippodrome is. If you've seen some of the films, you know where they have the chariot races and the horse races round a great big track with banks of spectators going up all around it. So he had done all sorts of things. And just to give you some idea what sort of a guy Herod the Great was, he had put lots of pools and gardens and great big pools all around this redevelopment. And apparently, In one of those pools, he had his son drowned. Not that his son drowned, but he had his son drowned. He, for political reasons, did that. Anyway, that's the sort of setup that we're talking about here. It was a major tax and customs centre. That's why Zacchaeus was here. And you know, when I was thinking about that, about Zacchaeus, we'll come on to him a wee bit more in a minute or two, obviously. But with this setup, with this great wealth and all of this going on around and the trade that was going through, it was a customs route from east to west. So he was there as the head man to collect the customs and the taxes and all of those sorts of things. And it struck me, you know, just from the point of view of those of us who are Christians this morning, you know, sometimes we look at people and we think, nah, he wouldn't be interested in hearing about God. He wouldn't have any interest in knowing that his sins were forgiven. He probably doesn't even believe in God. Here was probably one of the most unlikely characters in the whole of the Judean area at the time, this tax collector Zacchaeus. Very important guy, very powerful guy in many ways. He had the backing of Rome behind him. And he would have looked, let's say, a very unlikely candidate for salvation. And yet, as we know in the story, that's very far from the truth. So, that's the sort of setup that we're talking about. Jericho at that time, very rich area, very powerful people living there, and Zacchaeus being one of them. Sometimes I sort of think Zacchaeus has been sort of a wee bit hard done by us, maybe. You know, maybe I should talk about myself here rather than talk about you. Sometimes I've sort of thought of him as a slightly comical character, you know, very small, had to climb a tree to see the Lord and so on. And I was thinking too, I've spoken at a fair number of meetings like this in my time, given the age I am now. But I've actually, until today, I've never actually spoken about Zacchaeus, except for one time when I was speaking to children. You know, so it was sort of nearly relegates Zacchaeus, I think, on the importance of his story. And I suppose most of us know the little chorus, you know, the one, Zacchaeus was a very little man, and a very little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Saviour passed that way, he looked up in the tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house for tea. Now, obviously, he didn't go for an actual cup of tea, I don't think, but it was a meal of some sort. And this man that he was going to tea with, as I've said, Zacchaeus, he was no mug. He knew what he was about. He was dishonest. He had defrauded people. But in spite of all of that, the story seems to tell us that he was very keen to see the Lord Jesus. The way the Authorized Version puts it, it says he sought to see Jesus who he was. In other words, it wasn't just, oh, there's somebody interesting or important passing by today, I'll go and see him. Who he was, he wanted to find out more, I think, about the Lord Jesus. He wanted to find the real truth about the man that he had heard so much about. When I was the age of some of these boys and girls here this morning, I wouldn't like to say I was a street urchin exactly, but I spent a lot of time on the streets of Belfast, sort of an inner city boy, and we didn't have trees to climb. Believe it or not, there were none. It's not that they didn't have them in those days, they just didn't have them where I was. But what they did have, they had lampposts. And this sounds like something out of Robert Louis Stevenson or something, but the lampposts in my day were gas lamps, would you believe? And I can remember men going round with poles and opening up the gas lamp, the lantern up above, and doing all sorts of stuff. But those lamps were great for climbing. We used to talk about spelling up a lamppost. I'm sure maybe some of you have done that in your time. Perhaps not. The girls would have either gone up themselves or got one of the boys to go up and hook a rope. There was like a crossbar, and then they would have had a swing to swing round and around the lamppost as well. What I'd never seen, or what I've never seen to this day, is an adult climbing a lamppost like that. I was thinking, you know, a couple of years ago, the king was crowned. Do you remember the coronation? And then shortly after, he came across here. And the office where I work down in Belfast, it's in Royal Avenue. And he was coming to St. Anne's Cathedral, literally just round the corner from where I work. And a colleague and myself, once we'd finished, we thought, we'll go around and see the king coming out of the cathedral. We had no chance of seeing the king at all. It was completely bunged full. There were so many people there. But you know, I had no thought that day of climbing a lamppost to see the king. That was the last thing in my mind. But I think it gives you some idea about Zacchaeus here. He didn't care about the indignity of a situation. He was so keen to see who Jesus was, he wanted to find out more about him, that he was prepared to be laughed out of, if you like, and to climb this tree. And I was just thinking, you know, for anyone here or watching online today that hasn't yet come to the Lord Jesus, wouldn't it be wonderful if today they decided that they were going to let nothing or nobody get in their way and stop them from getting to see who Jesus really is. So, moving quickly on. Why? Why was Jesus so very keen to see... Sorry, why was Zacchaeus so very keen to see Jesus? I was wondering to myself, had he heard accounts of what Jesus had been doing in the hearts and lives of other people? It's possible. You know, if we'd read in the previous chapter, in Luke 18, just before this happens, the Lord gives sight to a blind man. It's quite possible Zacchaeus heard about that. If we look back a few chapters in Luke chapter 13, we read there a bit of a gruesome story where Pilate, the main man who was the real power in the land, his soldiers had killed a lot of Galilean people. And the scripture in Luke 13 talks about their blood having been mingled with the blood in the sacrifices. An awful scene. But I wonder, had he heard what the Lord Jesus said about that? The Lord said in Luke chapter 13, he said, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way?" He said, "No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So I wonder, had things like that come through the grapevine, so to speak, to Zacchaeus? Or had he heard about the paralyzed man in Luke 5? Do you remember the man who was let down through the roof? Couldn't walk. His friends brought him and lowered him down through the roof. And apparently at that time, it's a thing I had never really noticed before, but there were people at that event from absolutely all over the country, from Jerusalem, from Galilee, from Judea, all over the place. So quite possibly, word about that event would have spread out far and wide throughout the country. And at that time, one of the things that the Lord said about himself, he called himself the Son of Man. He said, "The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." And he also said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So, was Zacchaeus beginning to realize that he had a problem? That in spite of all that he had in terms of the material stuff that he had, was he just not satisfied? Was he feeling guilty? Was he beginning to realize that he was a sinner? Was he beginning to realize that he was lost, in the words that we've read here in verse 10 of Luke chapter 19. But at any rate, the Lord came to the foot of the tree, called him down, and down he came. I sometimes think maybe so quickly that he skinned his shins on the way down. I don't know. But was the Lord Well, the Lord was, of course, in possession of all of the facts about Zacchaeus. He knew everything about him, and he knew exactly what Zacchaeus was thinking. So we'll crack on. A few other things to say there, but we'll crack on a wee bit anyway. So what about the what of the story? What happened at Zacchaeus' house? What was the conversation that took place? So, as I've said, we don't actually know. We know how Zacchaeus reacted, and we'll come to that. But I was just wondering, I'll just mention this quickly, you know, I was thinking about other people who had met Zacchaeus on a sort of a one-to-one basis. And would the Lord, in his meeting with Zacchaeus, maybe have talked to them in the same sorts or in the same sort of way? You know, if you think about Nicodemus, for example, in John chapter 3, do you remember the Lord met him? And amongst all the things that he told him, he told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again, born of God, born into God's family. That was what he told Nicodemus. Thinking about the woman at the well, Colin last week mentioned her. And the fact that she came back and reported that the Lord told her all things that ever she did. But one of the things that he revealed to the woman that day, and I couldn't think of anyone else, I'll stand to be corrected here, so please do. He revealed to that woman that day that he actually was the Messiah. The one, the special one sent from God for the salvation of the world. So possibly the conversation in Zacchaeus' house went along those lines. I don't know. And let's move on quickly to the how. How did salvation come to Zacchaeus that day? Well, there's a wee phrase in there which you might find puzzling. In verse 9, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham." He's a son of Abraham, that's why salvation has come. Seems a bit strange, doesn't it? But you know, if you were to read over in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7, you'll get a very clear answer to that puzzle, if you like. Because in verse 6 and verse 7, it says this in Galatians chapter 3. "Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness," we're told that away back in Genesis chapter 15. "As Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham." So it was faith that saved Zacchaeus that day. He trusted the Lord Jesus. He realized who the Lord Jesus was. Thinking back to the passage that Dave read with us, do you remember it said about the folks that were breaking bread with the Lord, that their eyes were opened? I think that's exactly what happened to Zacchaeus that day. His eyes were opened to who he was actually sitting, having a meal with. Then, interestingly, Zacchaeus takes his stand immediately. You know, we're often encouraged as Christians, aren't we, to take our stand? Zacchaeus took his stand right away. Well, literally and figuratively, if you like. He stood up and he said, "Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor." That was the proof of the change in his life. That was the proof of his salvation, if you like. It wasn't the reason that he got saved that he was doing that. But he trusted the Lord, and in gratitude and in recognition of that fact, he was prepared to give away half of his goods. I don't know if any of us would be prepared to get even close to that, would we? So he wasn't saved by his good works. The good works, like the Epistle to James, the good works followed on. His life was changed forever. And, you know, how thankful us who are Christians today should be that our lives maybe not as spectacularly as a meeting in person with the Lord Jesus, but in a sense, we have met in person the Lord Jesus. And how thankful we should be that we've done that. So the Son of Man, who came to seek and save the lost, we've read about in this chapter. Just wondering if you haven't trusted the Lord today, as yet, either here or watching online. If you haven't done it yet, perhaps today, why not? Why not put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today in the way that Zacchaeus did and receive salvation through faith in him? Thank you very much indeed for your kind attention. Let's just pray and then I'll hand back to Dave. Our Father God, I give thanks again just for this opportunity to read the scriptures together and to think about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in the life of this man Zacchaeus, but also what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in so many of our lives. Our Father, we thank thee for him. And we just pray, our Father, that thou wilt bless us now and be with us as we part. And we pray for those who have not yet trusted him, that even today this would be the day that they would meet him as their Lord and Savior. We just pray for blessing. We pray again for camp, for arrangements for this afternoon, particularly for travel. Pray for blessing there. And we pray for all the boys and girls and the workers who will be there. And pray thy blessing upon everything that is done over the next five days or so. We just look to thee now as we give thee our thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.